The game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Into the jet zone. Drops the puck to Hyman. He'll get to the middle. The backhand rebound. Scott! First of the year gives the Oilers a 4-3 win in overtime, and that's career goal 200 for Zach Hyman.
Well, it just seems inevitable that the Edmonton Oilers and Winnipeg Jets are going to wind up playing close, dramatic games, and no exception tonight. Zach Hyman's 51st of the season slams in his own rebound a minute 22 into overtime, giving the Oilers the 4-3 win over the Jets. So Edmonton breaking their two-game skid to bump their record to 43-23-4 on the season. The Jets now winless in four. They do get the single point tonight. Their record 42-22-6, and we'll go right back to Winnipeg. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
Kind of banding together all night for the most part with a penalty kill and at least giving you a chance to get to that overtime.
Yeah, overall I thought our game was pretty good. I don't like our first probably 5 or 7 minutes of the game, and probably I don't know, about 3 minutes stretch there in the third period when they got the two goals. Other than that, I thought our team played really well and doing a lot of little things. You know, we had 40 plus shots on net, and you know, we got a power play goal, and the penalty kill was really solid tonight. So, you know, a lot of things to be happy about.
I feel like your team manages the emotions, because obviously that call at the end, I mean, it clearly wasn't Nugent Hopkins' stick. I think everyone in the building saw it. Not sure if they could reverse it or not, but you, at the end of the day, that's what you guys have to deal with. How do you feel like your team is able to manage those emotions?
Well, obviously everyone's worked up and upset with the call, but everyone's really mature and professional, and they still know they have a job to do. And you saw it, you know, obviously we're a little maybe unfocused, upset at the moment, but I think once that puck's getting dropped for the start of the faceoff, it everyone's dialed in and they've forgotten what happened before, and they are ready to do the job, and they were. The penalty kill, they were sharp, and they made a lot of good plays to eliminate any scoring chances they had.
Road trip where you haven't had much good fortune, actually, on the trip. You maybe played better than you deserved. You come into a really hard building, good team, physical game, win a game. Does it kind of make up for what's been going on here the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We feel we could have got two, and two of the three of this road trip. But there's times during the season we've won games that we didn't deserve, and over a season it works out. But coming into this building, we knew they were going to be ready. They had a road trip where they lost three in a row, and coming back home, and a very good hockey team, and we're prepared for a hard test, and I believe we got a pretty hard test.
Did you happen to see what happened to Connor Brown's stick before he went on and sniped that one, Chris?
Well, I knew there's some stick exchanges with Perry and himself, and I don't exactly know exactly what happened, but I'm sure when I'm watching the video after the game, I'll get a chuckle.
For someone who is so loved in that dressing room, what does it mean to this team to have a guy like Connor Brown now starting to find his scoring again, his scoring touch around the net?
Yeah, it's hard for a player to play through what he played, and you know, I've seen it before where players have gone through a major surgery, a major injury that they rehab, and they're cleared, but it takes so long to recover from it. And I know a player that I coached before when I was in Philadelphia, Claude Giroux, had surgery, played a year of being cleared, and not that it was a bad year, but it was 2 years after that surgery that he had a career year. It just happens. It's tough to get going, and I think Brownie has been building his game throughout the year, and he's been playing really well. Offensively, you know, he should have more. He's been very fortunate. The goalies have been making good saves, hitting goal posts, stuff like that, but he has been playing really well, and I think from day one till now, it's just continually gotten better and better. And he's a good hockey player, and we'll need him down the stretch when things are even more difficult.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop as the Oilers get the 4-3 overtime win over the Winnipeg Jets. Along with Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins for Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Rob, scoreless after the first. Jets went up early in the second period. Oilers scored two goals a minute 43 apart. And then Nuge broke that 13-game goalless drought. 6-10 into the third period. Oilers had a 3-1 lead, and it didn't hold. The Jets come right back, two goals exactly a minute apart. Jets have a power play with 2:06 to go. The Oilers survive that and then eventually figure it out. Another entertaining game, Rob, but let's start with the play at the end. Nugent Hopkins sets up Hyman for the game winner.
Well, it was a good play as the Oilers were caught with Leon on the ice, and he was dead tired. And if the Jets were able to contain the puck in the offensive zone, they would have had a very tired Bouchard and a very tired Leon Draisaitl. But they won a battle in the corner and got it to Nuge, which allowed the change. And a nice play by Nugent Hopkins. He's coming up the ice. He's by himself. But he's taking his time and staying away from the defender. If he tried to walk the defender, if he tried to go one-on-one, then all of a sudden the puck gets knocked off and you lose your advantage. But what he was waiting was a line change. And he just took his time. And as soon as he realized the change had happened, that's when he made his play. And a crisscross in the offensive zone, they caught Scheifele flat-footed. Hyman takes it to the net. And in three-on-three, it's more or less man-on-man coverage. And as soon as Hyman beat Scheifele, he was going to have not only the one, but the second opportunity. And what we've seen with the guy that scored 51 already this year, he doesn't need a lot of chances in front of the net. And he just goes to where he's comfortable. And it's been a pretty fun, as much as the Oilers haven't had a great road trip, it's been a pretty good road trip for Zach Hyman.
So yeah, his 200th career goal, the second overtime goal of his career, both have been with the Edmonton Oilers. Nugent Hopkins got the penalty with 2:06 left in the third. It was a friendly fire play. It was actually DeMello's stick that came up and hit Lowry. So that can't be reviewed. You can only review the 4 minutes or the majors, Rob. And I think Jack or Louie touched on this. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, if he would have been cut, there wouldn't have been a penalty, but they can't review a 2-minute. And I love what Nuge said after the game. Well, it was called. We got to kill it off. I mean, you can't say, oh, well, we lost, but it shouldn't have counted. You got to kill it off. I wonder. There's a lot of talk about video review. I'll just bring this up quickly. I don't want to turn this into a video review show. There's, you know, the talk about the coaches, maybe they're going to be able to review the puck over the glass. I wonder if there's something that the league could look at those quickly. Like we've seen that in the NFL. Now they have these expedited reviews, like without a challenge, they can just say, oh, it's spotted in the wrong spot. He did step out of bounds. Okay, let's just fix it and move on. I wonder if there's a way to look at something like that quickly, because, you know, playoff game seven, a call mm-hmm. like that could decide a series.
It could. It doesn't happen very often. A couple times a year. It's funny that we took a lot of calls the other night, and I've heard a lot of people with some of the soft calls against Desharnais the other day, and they were, but at the end of the day, you still got to kill him off, and the Oilers didn't. So don't look at the referee that made the mistake. Look at the fact that you didn't kill it off. And I think tonight, Knobloch talked, we're a mature group. We were a little upset at first, but let's get back to business. And they were fantastic on the kill. And got an extra point. Well, actually, probably got two extra points, because if they don't kill that off, they lose the game in regulation and they get nothing. So mistakes are made. Goaltenders make mistakes, D-men, forwards, coaches, and sometimes ref do. And you can't blame the ref on that. When a stick went up in a group and hit a player in the face, it's easy to call. It's just unfortunate for the ref. It was the wrong call. So you saw Nugent Hopkins. He wasn't that upset in the penalty box. Things happen. You get through it, and you send out your best players to try and kill it off, and the Edmonton Oilers, give them credit, were fantastic on the penalty kill tonight.
Well, and as a result, the Jets go 0-5 on the power play. The man advantage update for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online at conlonmotorsports.ca. The Oilers were 1-4 on the power play. Nugent Hopkins' goal was him driving the net on a man advantage in the third period. oddly enough, the Jets' power play kind of subpar, 18.8%, and they weren't able to cash in tonight. And really, Rob, Scheifele had that dangerous one-timer about 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the first period. The Jets got an early power play. I thought that was their best one. You know, the 4 minute, they had a 4 minute power play in the second period. Connor Brown, shortly after scoring, got a double minor for high stakes. Like, didn't really threaten. Even that one in the final 2 minutes, I think they had one kind of shot in tight that Skinner stopped. They didn't really threaten. Like, the Oilers really held them out while they were shorthanded.
Well, the Oilers were very good at holding the blue line, first of all, not giving the Jets easy access. And then every time there was a bobble or if a back was showing to them, they attacked. And for a team as skilled as the Jets are, and their first power play unit's very skilled, they bobbled a lot of pucks. And if you're a killer and you see that bobble, you're going right at it. Now you're forcing them to make a play before they're ready. In the four-minute power play, I don't remember them getting a shot on net. And then at the end of the game, they just kept bobbling and not getting pucks towards the net. To me, it's a combination of they didn't look confident, but also the Oilers did a fantastic job. I don't know if they were embarrassed after the Ottawa game, but they certainly showed pride tonight. They knew that the penalty kill was which cost them the game in Ottawa. And tonight, their penalty kill won them the game. Their penalty kill, killing all five off, and including the one in the last 2 minutes. Because if Winnipeg scores in the last 2 minutes, the Oilers get no points in this hockey game. So to me, the penalty killing for the Edmonton Oilers won them the game.
4-3, the Oilers win it in overtime. Now, you know, back and forth in this one. Jets good early. They scored first. Edmonton has a 3-1 lead. The Jets did tie it with two goals a minute apart. Dillon from the blue line and then Monahan with a nice deflection. Knobloch said he kind of didn't like the first few minutes of the game and a couple of minutes around those two goals being scored. And, hey, maybe if the Jets score in overtime, we're talking about a blown lead for Edmonton because they were up 3-1 in Ottawa in the second period and didn't put that one away. Was that a case of the Oilers falling back a little bit or just the Jets, you know, getting some pucks through to get those two quick goals to send it to overtime?
Well, I think you also got to look, it's a very good Jets team. And for most of the year, they've been in the top three in the entire National Hockey League. So I think they're going to have a push. I think you got to give credit to the Oilers that the Jets only had probably two pushes in the game, one to start the game where the Oilers weren't good to start, and then that one in the third period. I mean, you got to get some puck luck, a little fortunate. That was a nice deflection by Monahan, who I got to be honest, I thought the two trades at the around the deadline, I thought Lindholm was going to be the much better player for Vancouver than Monahan and Winnipeg. Completely wrong there. Monahan has been outstanding. Good on him resurrecting his career. But the goal by Dillon from the point, that's just a weird one. That was a knuckleball that it looked like it dropped about a foot and a half and went about 6 inches to the right. Little puck luck for the Jets when they had their push. But I also, we haven't mentioned, they tied up 3-3. And about a minute and a half after, they got another unbelievable shot in front.
Yeah.
Skinner made an unreal save. They could have scored three goals in 2 minutes, and I don't know how the Oilers would have reacted to that, but that would have been tough. So Hellebuck was outstanding in his end, but Skinner came up with some big saves when he needed, and that one in the third period to keep it tied 3-3, another reason the Oilers were able to get 2 points.
Yeah, Skinner stops 22 out of 25. His save percentage for this game is .880. I set the line at 9.15 for River Cree Resort and Casino Excitement. Bet on it. So John took the under and gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Having said that, I thought that was a solid game by Skinner, especially early, Rob. He made four or five really good saves in the first 5-6 minutes. I mean, it could have been 2-0 Winnipeg, and we probably still would have been saying Skinner held the Oilers in early. He stopped the only shot he faced in overtime. So even though Hellebuck had the bulk of the work and was very good himself, stopping 38 out of 42, a very good performance by Skinner.
It was. And he needed a bounce back. He wouldn't have been happy with the game in Toronto and he had an extra day off of rest because he didn't play the next one. But we've seen that when he has an off game or when he's been pulled, he's been very good in the next game. Mental toughness. Stewart's going to just continue to impress, and he's going to feel very confident going into a very, very important game on Thursday.
Stuart Skinner will be our fourth star of the game for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. The three stars picked in the arena, Monahan 1, McDavid 2, and Dillon 3. I guess, well, Hyman got the game winner. We can give out 2 fourth stars, Rob. He'll get one as well. He's up to 51 goals. McDavid, 2 assists, by the way, so he's up to 93 on the season as he continues his climb to 100 assists. And at some point in the next, 2 to 5 games, probably, Rob, he'll become the fourth player ever to get 100 assists in the season. All right, let's go back to Winnipeg. This guy scored tonight, got the assist on the game winner. It's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Is it a bit of a sinking feeling knowing that you didn't do something, but it ends up acting like you did?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's worse that you didn't do it or that you did do it. Regardless, you're sitting in the box with 2 minutes left. Pretty stressful, but obviously massive kill, big saves when we needed them from Skinny. But, yeah, it's tough. I didn't feel like I got him. I thought at first he was going to call me for a hook or something, but... yeah, I mean, unfortunate, but the guy's got the job done.
Did you get a chance to talk to him? Did he talk to you after?
not really. I mean, he kind of, I don't know. No, I didn't get an actual chance to talk to him, obviously. Just a quick break and then back at it. You can't really dwell on it. I mean, it's he called it. It's a call. I mean, he's not going to take it back. So, yeah, it's a massive kill there.
Is that a game where you had to ride the momentum up and down a little bit, especially with their third period?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they came out hard to start, and we did a great job of kind of weathering it, and I thought we had a great second period and just played simple and kind of took over there. And I mean, they got some players that can make plays if you give them too much time, and in the third we'd like to close it out, obviously, but that can happen, and it's how you respond after that, and I thought we did a great job.
What's your initial assessment of this road trip?
I mean, obviously you want to get more points, but I thought Ottawa game was tough. I mean, 2 PK goals, obviously, and I thought for the most part we played well. The first part of Toronto wasn't our game. We all know that. I don't know if it was just caught up in the emotions, the swings and the momentum of the game and whatnot, but great way to finish it off, and we got to look forward here.
All right, that is Nugent Hopkins. So he hadn't scored in 13 games, Rob. He got his first one tonight since February 26th. Evander Kane will now be at 17 games without a goal. Maybe Hellebuyck's best work, because Kane got a breakaway and got 2 shots on goal in about 3/10 of a second in the second period.
And at the beginning of the year, it was Connor Brown that was getting looks that you're thinking, okay, here it is, and they're not going in. Now it's Evander Kane. He's had a bunch of looks over the last couple games. I think it was in Toronto where he looked skyward after not putting one in when he was right in the slot. And he had a number of opportunities. It is frustrating when that's your role and the puck doesn't seem to find the back of the net. But you continue to stay positive when you're getting chances. It's when you're a goal scorer and you're not getting any chances, then you know something's wrong. If you're a goal scorer and they're just not going in, all right, eventually it'll find the back of the net. So they got Nugent Hopkins off the schneid. Now they got to get Evander Kane going as well. But I think this was a game that you look top to bottom. Everybody played well. Everyone contributed it in a certain way. And I think it's a nice way to finish a road trip that didn't go the way they wanted, but they beat a very good team on their own home ice, and they can go home and feel good about it themselves going into the tough stretch here as we get into the final 12 games of the year.
So Connor Brown's goal, I didn't see this, Rob, but so Brown gave Perry his stick, mm-hmm. and then Perry came off and gave Brown his stick back, and then so mm-hmm. Brown did score with his – I thought they were saying Brown scored with Perry's stick. So he did score with his own stick, but Perry had just used it.
Yeah, Perry was on the ice.
Okay.
It was funny. I was trying to wonder what the rule was on this, because he was on the ice, and as Perry was coming off, Brown stepped on and was on the ice, and Perry handed him the stick. So Brown at one point had 2 sticks in his hand, which is a penalty. And then he gave the stick to Perry, and Perry jumped on the bench, and he quickly very quickly jumped in the play and scored almost immediately after changing sticks. So Corey Perry had his stick, and as he skated off, which is kind of weird because you don't usually see a guy change it. You're like, okay, he's got my stick. I'll use my other stick on the next shift. But they exchanged sticks right on the ice in front of the bench, and then he went in and scored. Oh God, it had to have been 3 seconds later, but it was kind of fine. But I'm thinking in my head, because you can call, I wonder if it was like you can challenge that. He's not allowed to have two sticks in his hand, but he made absolutely sure that puck hit the back of the net. Connor Brown is playing well. He's playing very well right now, and that is a good sign for the Edmonton Oilers going forward.
Well, and, you know, it's 3 goals in the last week and a half now, so that's going to feel pretty good. And look, of course he wanted to score. The first one goes off his skate, 7th goal in a 7-2 win. The other one's a rebound with 9 seconds left, 8th goal in an 8-3 win. I mean, this was the most meaningful and the most, like, that's a pure snipe. That's the kind you expected him to get a few of this season.
Yeah, well, he's starting to gain confidence. He came in here having not played for a year and coming off of a major. Then there's the pressure. He had a pretty big contract. And then there's the pressure. Well, he's going to be in the top six. This guy's going to play with Connor McDavid. So not only is there pressure from the outside, there's pressure on yourself. You're thinking, okay, seriously, if I play with Connor, I mean, these guys have played with him. I could have a 30-goal season, a 70-point year. I could all of a sudden, I got a 6-year deal coming out of this. So you put all this more pressure on you. When things don't go right to start with, it just manifests and it gets bigger and bigger. And you try to stay positive. And everything I've heard were positive things about him in the dressing room. But you have a lot of quiet time that you're thinking about it. I've gone now 15 games, 20 games, 30 games, 40 games. Now there's a social media. Now his contract's an anchor on the Oilers. And everyone's talking about it. But once you get that first goal and you no longer have zero beside your name, it's amazing. There's a difference between 26 and 27, but there is a mountain of difference between 0 and 1. And once he got that first goal, you just see the release in his body and now the way he's playing. That was a confident shot he took tonight, scored the goal. He beat one of the best, if not the best goalie in the world right now, from distance with an absolute bomb. That will give him more confidence going forward, which is a good thing for the Edmonton Oilers.
All right. In overtime, the Oilers win it 4-3 over the Winnipeg Jets. You'll hear from Connor Brown a little bit later on, from Darnell Nurse as well. And you can chime in at 780-496-0063. That's the hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. Back in a couple of minutes, it's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Chara gets it to sit down to the line, kept in by Dieter Rider. Now to Appleton, a centering pass. Oh, what a save by Skinner off of Lowry. He got it with a glove. Lowry had two cracks at it, and Stuart Skinner shuts the door.
That's the save Rob referenced earlier. The Jets scored goals a minute apart, and then that was, what do I have here for my time? 27 seconds after the Monahan goal, Skinner comes up with his saves of the game for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Oilers beat the Jets 4-3 in overtime. Skinner with 22 stops. His record for the season now 32-14-4, as the Oilers are 43-23-4. All right, we'll go to the CertainTeed hotline. We have goalie Greg on the line. GG, you're on with Robin Reed. Go ahead.
Hey guys, I got a couple questions for you and then I'll let you answer. So first question, a lot of people are always, you know, complaining about the refs and stuff, right? So, but I'm just wondering what you guys think about the linesmen not dropping the puck. Like, just drop the puck already. It slows the game down. Guys get waved out. It's not the linesman show. Like, let's get the game going, right? You know what I mean? So that's the first question. So the second question is, I want your opinion on who you guys would prefer in the first round of the playoffs for the Oilers.
No, I honestly don't care. Just, well, who would I prefer? Chicago Blackhawks.
Like, well, actually, you know who I'd prefer not to play? The Nashville Predators, because they're the hardest team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know it's fun to talk about that, but I mean, get in. Anybody's
not a bad
tough
team.
Yeah, anybody's tough. And look, I don't really believe in jinxes, but I'm not going to be the one guy to say a team and then the Oilers lose to that team and then I get hate mail.
Did you see, Reed, I think it's in the Women's Hockey League that whoever wins gets to pick who they yep. play in the first round.
Yeah, I covered when I covered the Junior B League in Lloyd, the Northeastern Alberta Junior B League, one year they did that. The top four seeds could pick their opponent. So the fourth place team took whoever was left. But yeah, that's I know that could be dangerous.
Yeah, that'd be very dangerous. You're just giving more incentive. For the Oilers, I mean, it's going to be
It's probably going to be
Vegas or LA.
Yeah,
it's still probably, but I mean, still Vegas. It's going to be one of those two teams.
Well, actually, Vegas.
I think
is only a point
Vegas
behind.
Will be. Yeah, Vegas will be better in the second round probably than they will be in the first round because they'll have Hurdle and possibly Stone both playing by then and getting games in. LA is good. LA is a very good hockey club. As for the linesman dropping the puck, I think you touched on that earlier, Reed. This was something sent down from the league. Said make sure they're doing it properly, and if they're not, kick them out.
I think it was Shannon that talked about that, didn't he? The other
was
day.
Was it he? Yeah,
yeah,
he talked about it on our show.
For some reason, we started talking about face-offs with him. Yeah. I didn't think it was a problem tonight, was it? I mean, some games it happens two or three times, and you think, okay, but
I don't mind the ref
badly
or the
tonight. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice it. What you want to see if it happens, they set the tone early in the game, but in important face-offs, they give the both centermen the benefit of the doubt. And if there's a mix-up, they'll back up, say, you know what, let's reset instead of kicking someone out of an important face-off.
Right.
I didn't notice it tonight at all, so I can't comment on that.
All right, 780-496-0063. We have Harry chiming in. Harry, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I hope you're feeling a bit better, Rob.
Thank you very much.
I played pretty well tonight, but I've always wondered, in what rules are there around when you actually, I'm not talking about those winning the Stanley Cup just yet, but what rules are around getting a ring and getting your name on the cup? You need to play a certain amount of games for, like in the regular season and then a certain amount in the playoffs?
Yes.
I'll let you guys chime in on.
I can't even remember what it was.
I think you have to play
41 games in the regular season or one game in the final for the cup winning team. But there have been exceptions, right? Where they've asked for a player to be put on.
So what if you played 41 games and you played, if you play in the playoffs, do you not get your name on the cup no matter what? If you're over 41 games and you play, what if some guy gets hurt before the finals? He still gets his name on the cup.
This is what I just found out. To have one's name engraved on the Stanley Cup, a player must have at least 41 games played with the club or one game in the Stanley Cup finals. Backup goalies don't actually have to have played 52 names in all is the rule.
But what if you played 40 games and then you played the first 20 games of the playoffs and then got hurt? You don't get your name on the cup?
I don't know. In that case, you could probably apply for an exception.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is. No, why, Reed? I don't know, because I didn't get my name on the cup.
I feel this is one of those things I would have known when I was like 12 and just remembered everything. But I feel like this has been pushed out by like how to do laundry and stuff.
I still don't know how to do that.
Somebody will know and they'll call us, because I honestly don't know. I'm sorry, everybody.
We need John Shannon for this one. Or Bob Stauffer.
Yeah, but that's what I found. I don't know about your scenario, Rob. That's an interesting one. If you played exactly 40 games and then you played the first three rounds of the playoffs,
And then you don't play in the finals.
Yeah.
You would think at that point you should get your name on if you were part of the first three rounds, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just trying to double check. Anyway, somebody will tell us 780-496-0063. Oilers win 4-3 over the Jets. So a $400 donation from James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com to 630 Ched Santas Anonymous. James H. Brown filling the net with $100 every time the Oilers score. We have Matt on the line as well. Matt, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I apologize if you covered this already. I just turned the show on. But I was hoping for some clarification as to why that high stick didn't get reviewed.
Wasn't a double minor. Wasn't a double minor or a major. So they can't review two-minute penalties. Minor? Sorry?
Okay. Fair enough. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So,
yeah, it's funny. They talked about it on the show that if he would have been cut, they could have reviewed it and there would have been no penalty. But because he wasn't cut, it was a two-minute penalty, and they can't review it. The refs did talk about it. I give them credit for that. And it happened so fast, they didn't notice which stick it was, and completely understandable, and the Oilers went out and killed it. So that was a big moment in the game, and the Oilers' mental toughness allowed them to kill off a big penalty.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, maybe something you could say could just be quickly reviewed by the whatever they call it, the command center or the war room. But yeah, I mean, Nuge put it well in his interview with Bob and Ken after the game. It's a penalty. You can't say if you lose the game, the league doesn't say, oh, well, we'll give you a point anyway. You know, you got to kill it off. And the Oilers' PK was excellent tonight. We have is it Frank up next? Yes, Frank is back on the line here. Frank, go ahead.
Hey guys. Great game to watch. If this is a preview of the playoffs, we're going to have a lot of fun. Just a couple of points. I was actually, and then you guys already mentioned this, I think the Oilers reacted really maturely to that bad call, and maybe that bodes well. Two, what a treat it's been to watch Hyman play all year and continue to play the way he has. He just makes the game of hockey fun to watch and love the work ethic that he has. And three, if Brown is finding his game, what a bonus that's going to be for the Oilers. What do you guys think?
Yeah, 100%. We were just talking about it earlier in the show that Connor Brown looks confident out there. I mean, he brought good tenacity in the bottom six. He's been very good on the penalty kill. The one thing that had just been missing is he had stone hands around the net. It just wasn't finding the back. But three goals, I think, in his last six, seven games. He's feeling it right now. This was a guy they thought could play in their top six. So if they get him just anywhere close to what they expected from him, I think that's going to make the Oilers a better team as they go into the playoffs.
All right, I'm still Googling this stuff. I got to concentrate here. So, yeah, 41 games played with the club. Or one game in the cup final. In 1994, a stipulation was added to allow a team to petition the commissioner for permission to have players' names put on the cup if extenuating circumstances prevented them from being available to play. So I would assume if somebody played the entire regular season, 21 playoff games before the cup final, if they all went to seven games and then didn't play in the Stanley Cup final, I would assume you could say, okay.
Yeah, but that was the opposite, though. I was under 41 games. What if Dylan Holloway gets it? Because I don't think he's played 41 games yet for the Oilers, has he, this year?
Oh, no. So if he played all the playoff games but not the cup, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one that I wonder about. So,
well, there's an example here. Bo Bennett of the Penguins a few years ago, 15-16. 30, well, he only played in one playoff game. 33 regular season games, one playoff game, didn't get his name on the cup. But if it would have been in the Stanley Cup final, then it would have been, oddly enough.
You know what we will do, Reed? You and I will do our due diligence if the Edmonton Oilers go to the Stanley Cup finals, and we will know exactly whose names can be put on the cup at that
we'll
point.
Then we'll know for sure. All right. The Japanese Village goal light not on tonight. We only turn it on when the Oilers score five or more in a game. When they do, it allows you to print up a coupon for a free appetizer at Japanese Village off the 630 Ched website. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall. An afternoon celebration for the senses. Visit jvedmonton.ca. All right, we'll get to some post-game reaction from Connor Brown, who got his third of the season tonight. Oilers beat the Jets 4-3 in overtime. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
It's now 26-17 for Edmonton. Tied at one. Ekholm, he'll bring it in to Brown. Shoots. Scores!
side, and the Oilers have a 2-1 lead.
And they go on to win it 4-3 in overtime against the Jets. Connor Brown now 3 goals this season. Here he is.
Yeah, how's Corey Perry end up with your stick?
He just ripped it out of my hands coming by the bench, actually. I didn't know what was going on there, and then he exchanged it back on the way out. It was a little too small for him in the slot, though. I think he would have buried one if he had his own.
You were on the bench, and he skated by and took it?
Yeah, I always had one leg over the boards, and he just ripped it out of my hands. Yeah.
It looked like you had one in your hands, and then he kind of threw it back at you, and then you kind of didn't know what to do with two sticks.
Yeah,
then you
yeah.
go out and score.
Yeah, well, I wanted my game stick back, so you know, I was changing for him, so I just took it back and threw my other one over the boards. Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Connor, how does it feel to contribute in a big way in a big game? I mean, that was an entertaining hockey game against one of the league's best, and you get in the goal column tonight.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was great. A nice pass by Ecky there. I thought our line was doing a lot of good things with the puck, and it's nice to get rewarded.
Who else but Hyman in the overtime? Hey, I mean, he always just seems to come up clutch for you guys.
He does, yeah. He's a big time player for us, and he shows up time and time again in big moments, and we're lucky to have him.
You're part of killing that penalty at the end that was probably unjust. It would have been a lousy way to lose, but the fact that you guys killed the penalty makes it something we can talk about or joke about.
Yeah, I agree. I think we showed a lot of resolve. Kind of, obviously we weren't happy with the call, and we I think we put it behind us and just got the job done. It shows a lot about the character of this group.
When you look at the standings, and I'm not saying that you did before the game, but it's nice to get at least a victory and a little bit more separation from teams that might be chasing you.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we don't think we're done. We got a job to do in this regular season, and, it's one game at a time, and I think really liked our process in our game tonight.
Connor, when you surrender the 2-goal lead and this 3-3 hockey game late again in the third period, what's the messaging on the bench?
I think it's just stay composed, back on the attack mode. I mean, just, obviously this is it's a game of momentum, and obviously, they get one and then they get another one right away, and, the momentum swung in their way, but I thought we did a good job of, settling it down, staying composed on the bench, and just go back to doing what we do, and we came up with a win.
All right, that is Connor Brown, now up to 3 goals this season. Nice little burst from him, as most of the year we were talking about him not scoring at all. Let's check the out-of-town scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals. Visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. The Nashville Predators trailed Vegas 4-1. They win 5-4 in overtime, Rob. They're 16-0-2 in their last 18 games.
They are the hottest team in the National Hockey League. That was a team that a lot of people had written off. They got rid of some players at the trade deadline, and all they've done is win hockey games since then. So, I mean, it is unbelievable what they're doing right now. I would not want to play them in the first round, as they are brimming with confidence.
The Devils beat the Maple Leafs 6-3. The Capitals knock off the Red Wings tonight 4-3. That one was in overtime with Strom getting the winner. The Rangers outscore the Flyers 6-5. That was an overtime game as well. Jesse Puljujärvi had a goal tonight for the Penguins. They had a 4-1 win over Carolina. Bruins win 4-3 on the road against the Panthers. The Canadiens get a 2-1 win against the Avalanche. Chicago beats Calgary 3-1. Seattle cruising tonight, 4-0 lead on the Ducks after 2. Blue Jackets and Coyotes 2-2. You see Doan's son is playing for the Coyotes?
I did. It's funny, my brother and I were talking about it. I didn't realize that Shane Doan had a kid playing pro hockey. So good on him. It'd be a pretty exciting night for the family. And I think my brother told me he's wearing 91. He's got his dad's number backwards.
So Coyotes and the Blue Jackets 2-2. That is after 2. And early in the second period, Dallas leads San Jose 3-2. And, of course, right here on 630 CHED, Oilers overtime win. Hyman, the winner, 4-3 over the Winnipeg Jets. Oilers have been tied after 60 minutes 14 times this season. They're 10-4 in those games, 8-3 in the ones that were decided in the 3-on-3, 2-1 in games that have gone to a shootout. So usually McDavid or Draisaitl making the overtime magic. Well, Bouchard has a couple. Nurse has one. And Hyman able to score, well, kind of a classic Hyman goal. Right? I mean, he doesn't change in 3-on-3, right? Use power, get it to the net, stay there, banging the rebound.
Well, it's man-on-man coverage, and he beat Scheifele to the net. And not one but two opportunities. You can't move him once he gets to that blue paint, and good on him. A lot of guys would have went shot and just their body would have just taken them right past the front, but he's learned at a young age you stop in front of the net, and he did that, and hard work paid off.
Yeah, shot the backhand, Hellebuck saved it, and then Hyman just able to stay with it and fire a forehand past Hellebuck to end the game. He had a great chance early. One of Hellebuck's best save of the night. He shot out the pad to stop Hyman with about 12 minutes left in the first period. It was not, like as we said, Rob, not a great start to the game for Edmonton. I mean, Ehlers was in wide open late in the first period. Monahan had a breakaway, hit the goalpost. Ehlers had a breakaway early in the second period, missed the net. So there were, you know, the Oilers sort of got through a little bit of troubles, but they really turned it on, I thought, after Appleton got that goal. The shots in the second period were 19-4 for the Oilers.
Yeah, the Oilers played well. They paid more attention to detail after the first period because there's a few, they look sloppy at times. A couple of the odd man breaks and the breakaways, the players just skated right past them, and guys just weren't in the right place defensively, but as we've seen, they adjust very well, and from the start of the second period on, it was a dominant performance, and the Winnipeg Jets very fortunate to be able to get a point out of this. So there were some lessons learned in Ontario in the two games that they came away with no points, and tonight they put them into their game plan, and a very good game. They would feel very good right now getting on a plane coming home to Edmonton.
Can you? I know you touched on with Bob. Can you show up with the play Derek Ryan made, killing off that penalty late in the third period?
Yeah, it was. I mean, if the Oilers get scored on, the game is over. They're not going to get a point. And Ryan penalty killing, the puck went in the corner. He beat the guy, and he used his body to throw his weight, and then he turned his body to allow himself to protect the puck. If he would have just went fishing for a puck, then it's a 50-50 and you don't know if you get it. But he put his whole body on the line, turned his body, got in the best possible position, then got the puck out. A little thing like that. It does not go unnoticed by the coaches and by the other players on the bench. Here's a guy that's been in the press box a few times as of late, and with under a minute to go in a hockey game, he's out there trying to salvage a point, if not two, in a hockey game. So good on him to be able to do it, and it was a wonderful play getting the puck down to kill off the rest of the Jets' power play.
So Sam Carrick was the healthy scratch tonight for the forwards for the Oilers. Troy Stetcher out on the back end. The ice time leader for the Oilers was Leon Draisaitl at 22-23. Ekholm got to 19-33. Nurse got to 19-31. Bouchard played 21-21. Six shots on goal tonight for Nurse. Also had a fight, credited with five hits in the game as well. No, Nurse didn't have the fight.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, he did. Sorry. Yeah, yep. Nurse fought Dylan. Who had the... Oh, and then... Was Nurse the one that got high-sticked? Yes,
yeah,
Ehlers was the one that
yep.
took the high stick. Sorry, I'm mixing up all the penalties. Yeah, Perry fought Stanley, and then...
Yeah, he fought the Jolly Green Giant. He fought the biggest guy out there.
And then
yeah.
Nurse fought Dylan after Dylan knocked Perry into the bench and then went back at him once Perry was on his feet.
Yeah, no, I thought Nurse had a great game. And I know that there's been a lot of negative talk towards Darnell over the last little while, and there's been games he hasn't been his best. But if the Edmonton Oilers are going to make a run in the playoffs, Darnell Nurse has to play like Darnell Nurse is capable of playing. And I thought tonight was a great step forward. I thought he was very good in this hockey game.
All right, 4-3. The Oilers win it over the Winnipeg Jets in overtime. You will hear from Darnell Nurse when we get back. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Into the Jet zone. Drops the puck to Hyman. He'll get to the middle. The backhand rebound. Scores! Zach Hyman! His 51st of the year gives the Oilers a 4-3 win in overtime, and that's career goal 200 for Zach Hyman.
That's Cam Moon calling the Edmonton Oilers' 43rd win of the season. Rob and I were talking about Josh Doan, Shane Doan's son. Arizona and Columbus 2-2 in the second intermission. Well, Josh Doan scored late in the second period, so he comes up from the farm and scores in his first game with his dad in attendance as well. So a huge moment there for Josh Doan. Good game for the Oilers. Didn't start well. Bounced back. Had it go a little bit sideways when the Jets got two goals a minute apart in the third to tie it up. They kill off a late penalty to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and then Hyman wins it in overtime. Here's defenseman Darnell Nurse.
Darnell, what do you make of that game? I mean, you guys scored three unanswered, and then the Jets claw back, and then who else but Hyman in the overtime period? What does that game kind of say about this group?
Yeah, no, it was a hard game, I think, from start to finish, and obviously their team that's up there in the standings. Have won a lot of games, especially here on home ice. So for us, it was a good, we stuck to it. I think obviously we have the lead there in the third. You want to maintain that, but we found some resolve and a way to win in OT.
How special is it to have a character like Zach Hyman in this dressing room?
Yeah, obviously his play on the ice speaks for itself. But in the locker room, just such a good guy. Cares about each and every person in here, and brings such a positive attitude and a lot of work to our group. So he's great to have our team.
Tell me about the process when you get a call like that. That everyone knows, it turns out, is the wrong call by the time they drop the puck. To not let that make you play worse or lose your focus.
Yeah. I thought we did a good job. I mean, like. No, we were losing it on the bench, obviously, for a little bit there. But we were able to collect ourselves and just play. And I think it gave us a little motivation that we wanted to kill it off, knowing that we shouldn't have been out there killing. But at the same time, those are bang-bang plays that happen throughout the course of the season. And as a PK and as a team, no matter when it happens, you got to be able to go out there and get it done.
What did Corey Perry say to you after your fight in the box there?
I don't even remember. I was kind of catching my breath. No, I think he said just say good job. That was all.
One of those games, a pretty physical game. We go through a lot of regular season games where there's sometimes not a ton of physicality, and then all of a sudden tonight there was quite a lot. How come, do you think?
It's two teams gearing up for what's hopefully a long end of the season here. So obviously, I think every time that we play against Winnipeg, there's a certain level of physicality that comes out, and they're a team that plays hard, and you got to come and match that, compete and effort when you come play.
Okay, that is Darnell Nurse after the Oilers beat the Jets 4-3 in overtime. Get more on this game, more on the team on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Our next game broadcast, presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers, is Thursday. The Oilers are back home. They will play the Los Angeles Kings, 5:30 for the faceoff show, and the game will start at 7. Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now at 5 o'clock tomorrow. I will have Inside Sports at 7. I'll be joined by Luke Gazdick and Kelly Rudy. Big thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Zach Hyman's 51st of the season, 200th of his career, is the winner tonight in Winnipeg.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.